May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 758. Sons of God in tribulation, let your eyes the Saviour view. He's the rock of our salvation. He was tried and tempted too, all to succour every tempted burdened son. Hymn 758.
May the Lord help us this evening as we turn to his word, the book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 8. Prophet Zechariah and the 8th chapter. Just briefly, friends, to outline this, the first 8 verses that we will read has helped speak of the restoration of Jerusalem. From verse 9 down to 16, the people are encouraged to build the temple by a promise of God's blessing upon it. And then from verse 16 to the end, joy and enlargement of the church is promised. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvellous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvellous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one against his neighbour. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heaven shall give their dew. And I will cause a remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah, and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do, Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbour. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbour. And love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Well, my... The Lord bless that portion of his word. May he give us understanding of it. May he help us in prayer. Most holy Lord God of Israel, we come before thee as a collection of poor, lost, fallen sinners. Lord, tonight, we have nothing to offer thee, Lord. We have nothing in our flesh to bring before thee. For we know that, Lord, we are sinners from head to toe, and there is no good thing within us. We may look good, Lord, to those around us. We may look satisfactorily clad for the house of God, which is a right thing. But Lord, what is in our heart as we have come to thy courts this evening? Lord, we do pray that there may have been much prayer, and that our hearts would be prepared tonight to receive thy word. We do seek, Lord, that there may have been much laying up before the throne of grace, that it might be a time of favour, a time of blessing, a time of a touch from above, a time when the windows of heaven will be opened to pour out a blessing such as there may not be room enough to receive it. That there will be that season, those showers in season. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of God. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Saviour above. And Lord, may such a shower come down this evening to the poor, dry, needy souls that are before thee. Yes, the very ones that, Lord, we started in prayer that we feel to be, the very ones that are full of sin and full of wretchedness and full of vice and are so far off from God, but those ones who are in a dry place. And Lord, we know this, and so often we are rebellious. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. But oh, Lord, do come then Water us with the fountain, Lord, that is from above, so that, Lord, we might be go home and our soul will be as a well-watered garden. Lord, we've seen it naturally, much rain of late, and how the ground is saturated and has been immediately after the cloudbursts that we have seen. Lord, we desire it in our souls. Lord, that there might be that watering of our dry souls. Oh, Lord, thou knowest, we think of the prophet Ezekiel, and he was shown that vision of the dry bones. Can these bones live? Maybe, Lord, a poor sinner has come up tonight. Can these bones live? The dry bones of my soul. Such dryness. Lord, send down a little blessing tonight that will satiate the soul. And that, Lord, it will be soaked, as it were. Even if it is the dew, my doctrine shall distill as the dew. Oh, Lord, we pray that it's even the dew, though, upon the dry ground, how it is seen. May it be so tonight in Swavesey Chapel. Lord, do bless souls that have come in. Do remember them with their burdens and their concerns and their exercises. Lord, thou knowest the individual cases. And what of mercy that thou dost know. So, Lord, do make one in our midst. We beg of thee that we do not meet in vain. And that, yes, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. That is the matter. And, Lord, we do pray for thy servant that was due to be here tonight, dear Jabez Field. A rut. We do beg, Lord, that thou would graciously remember him and dear Margaret at this time of affliction. For her, do bless her abundantly, draw near to her, Lord, graciously help her. Oh, we do beg, Lord, that thou would be with her at this time. And oh, Lord, that she will prove underneath the everlasting arms and she will be strengthened and, Lord, go before her. And do strengthen and help her dear husband, Lord, and be with him. We do pray thou would help him as he ministers amongst his dear flock at Lamberhurst, week in and week out, and continues to do so. And Lord, what help is given to him, we understand. What a mercy. Help him to go on, Lord. We do plead, and I'll do graciously uphold him and bless him in his own soul, and Lord, strengthen him. And oh, Lord, we would pray for the dear deacon here, Benji Baker, and plead for him with the affliction of his dear one. And we do pray for her, Lord. And we do plead thou would, Lord, though she cannot perhaps communicate in any way, but, Lord, thou would be blessed to her. Thou would favour her with a glimpse of yon lovely man. Lord, that she will have that hope for glory. Oh, do draw near, Lord. Comfort him. Comfort the family. Be with them as they look on in this time of great affliction. Bless them in it, Lord. Be with the church and the people here in this affliction as it touches them so closely. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, do hold them up in. Help them, Lord, as they pour their prayers before thee in this respect. Oh, the afflicted ones. Lord, thou knowest. And Lord, there are many others that we could remember, both here and elsewhere, that are afflicted, those in Zion. And Lord, we do pray for thy dear servant in hospital, Mr. David Cornford, following that heart attack in the pulpit last Sunday. Lord, be with him. Lord, do grant that the blessing of God will be known unto him. If it is thy will, Lord, raise him up again. But, Lord, we must fall under thy divine holy will. But we do pray for him at this time and his dear one and family also. And, Lord, thou knowest others also. We do plead for them. And we do think of the dear wife of Mr. Bass and We do pray, Lord, for thy blessing upon her also and him, as they have, Lord, acknowledged in the latest gospel standard, rightly acknowledged God's help and support. Lord, oh, may we pray one for another. And Lord, we do feel in naming a few individuals, Lord, there are so many others, but thou knowest them, Lord. Oh, that thou would remember thy afflicted ones and be with them. Lord, we do pray at this season, holiday time, for those that may be going away on holiday amongst the dear friends here, that thou will take them away and grant them those times away, Lord, of rest and change. May it be rest and change to body, mind, and may soul not be forgotten. And Lord, that they might pray to have that time of rest in their souls. Lord, we pray that there may be the blessing of God then. Thou wilt convey them in peace and safety. Thou wilt take any travelling safely to their destination and return them in due course. Lord, remember those in at this season of holidays. And we also pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember each one in the pathway that is before them. And we think of the children, Lord, away from the schools at this time in their holidays. Do remember them, Lord, and watch over them at this time. And, Lord, go before them when it comes to return. Lord, we do plead thou wilt be with those that are taught at home. And remember parents in that regard. Remember all of the parents, Lord, here. Do favour them, Lord, with that looking up unto thee and those answers to prayer, that guidance and direction in bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And also, Lord, that guidance in particular, perhaps tricky issues that they may come up against. And Lord, we feel in today's modern world they will come up against. But Lord, we pray that thou would help them along and grant that their eyes might be ever up unto thee. Lord, we do pray thou would remember this dear church and people. We pray that thy blessing may rest upon them. We pray that the favour of God will be known in the courts of Zion here. We pray, Lord, that in thine own time Zion's children will come. Well, we pray, Lord, that there may be in additions to the congregation. We pray that there may be some of the dead elect, even from the local villages, will come, and perhaps many times have wandered past the place or driven past, but this is the time to come in, Lord, and may the dear friends receive them here, Lord, with fulsome open arms. Lord, because, Lord, what a right way that is. Oh, we do pray for the strangers, that they will come in. Lord, we've seen it in one or two of thy courts, and we are encouraged by these things. But, Lord, we pray that thou wilt work, and who will let it? Lord, we do pray that thou wilt graciously remember the dear friend. Be with the deacons, Lord, and our friend at the desk tonight. Graciously help him in all his concerns and cares, and their concerns and cares. And Lord, be with them as they walk closely together, Lord, in these things and the burdens and exercises. We do pray. I remember a friend at the organ too, with that important, integral part of divine worship. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt go before each and every one in their individual pathways. And the friends that are older, Lord, do remember them in their old age and be mindful of them, Lord, as those bodily faculties fail and, Lord, they have that battle against these things naturally. And also, Lord, the very active adversary in old age. Lord, we do pray thou would strengthen them. They will prove even in old age that as thy day, so shall thy strength be. That thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Lord, maybe there's some tonight. They need their shoes to be fitted again. Oh, fit them, Lord. Oh, the shoes of iron and brass. Yes, Lord, that will help them to take those next few steps in the wilderness journey. We beg and plead for it. Do remember those in the middle part of life with the heat and burden, Lord, and be mindful of them. And we pray that thou wilt draw near to them and be with them, Lord, both those that perhaps have parents that are getting older and they can have concerns about them, and those that have those children and grandchildren that they have many concerns about. Lord, those family concerns. But Lord, help them to pour these things, to lay them before thee, Lord, we do pray. Lord, do use the Bible. The Bible's left outside this chapel. Lord, the friends may know nothing of the work that he's done through them, but may there be some work in saving sinners through thy precious word, as it is picked up from outside of here and outside the chapels that are doing this. We pray for it, Lord, and we plead that thou wilt be kind and gracious. Ah, Lord, in remembering those that are thine, and we do not know who they are, Lord, but what a mercy that thou dost. And thou wilt find them. And, Lord, thou wilt bring them. Thou wilt bring the blind by a way that they knew not. And so, Lord, we would pray for thy servants. Do remember thy servants that are speaking tonight, or those that are preaching this week in the evenings. Lord, we pray thou would help them. We pray thou would grant those signs following the preaching of the word. We plead, Lord, that thou would grant that the gospel will be preached. The Lord Jesus Christ will be held high upon the gospel pole. And, oh Lord, that there may be yet those better days in Zion. Oh, we read of better days in Zion. Oh, the promise through the prophet there. May we yet bring this to prayer ourselves to see those better days, those days of blessing, those days of favour. But Lord, do remember thy servants as they go forth. And Lord, they go forth in much weakness, much trembling, many fears. But Lord, do use them. We do pray and help them to go on. Now, Lord, do remember us in the land and nation. We do pray for our Prime Minister and our leaders. We pray for wisdom and knowledge to be given to them, even though they do not ask for it in the most part. But we do not know, Lord, whether there are one or two that do get upon their knees, that do seek God's help and guidance. We pray it may be so, Lord, and may there be more raised up to do it. But do remember us, Lord, we've gone so far from thy word. Lord, when we think of the minority groups and how, Lord, the laws seem to be constructed to make everything easier for them and harder for the silent majority, how solemn it is, Lord, that we turn our backs upon these things. The word of God, really, even, Lord, with some of the fundamental things and the distaste for eating meat and the And Lord, these things with these trendy ideas that come in, Lord, that are so against the word of God, even in some of those things that we might think are less important, Lord, but they're not. They're contrary to thy holy word. And then, Lord, those minority groups that we, in many ways, we just appease them as a nation and the nations of the world. How solemn it is. But Lord, therefore, in judgment we do believe thou hast sent the virus, or thou hast the virus has been allowed to come in, Lord, and it has been sent as a judgment upon us, a plague upon the nations of the earth. And Lord, although some may boast in their low volume of cases, and others may not, but may boast in their high volume of vaccinations. Whatever it is, Lord, man is defiled, and it is only thee that can remove the plague. And we beg and plead it may be seen in this nation yet, that return to a full normality, Lord. But oh, what does full normality mean with the nightclubs full and these things, Lord, that are contrary to thy word? Lord, ah, does not judgment begin at the house of God, though? Should not we be looking at ourselves? Well, Lord, help us to pray for our nation, that yet it may be seen the power of prayer, even amongst a few in the land, that thou wilt spare us and drive away the plague. Lord, do come and grant us more faith, more solid faith, more confidence in thee, even, Lord, when we consider the virus. Now, O Lord, what wait I for, says one. My hope is in thee. Do come this evening, Lord. May it be a special service. Oh, Lord, yes, we designate our special services. But what a blessing it would be if thou dost bless a poor soul, and it would be a special service to that poor soul. Lord, may it be so for one poor sinner tonight, and they will go home full of the love of the Lord. Oh, come, dear Jesus, forgive our poor prayers, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 307. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? Hymn 307.
Thank you.
complete and utter dependence upon the dear Lord for help in time of need. I would direct your prayerful attention to Zechariah chapter 8, prophecy of Zechariah chapter 8. And the last few words in verse 21, which are these: I will go also. Now the whole verse reads, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily, or as the margin says, continually, to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Now, friends, we're not ones that necessarily name a particular sermon title, but I felt this. We want to express these two words, friends, tonight. Made willing. Made willing. Willing to do that which the Heavenly Master instructs us to do. And friends, I stand here tonight, I hope, because the Lord instructed me in the night seasons to consider coming. Your deacon telephoned, and I am on holiday, but wasn't able in God's providence to book anywhere to be away, but really didn't intend to preach in my week off, because, friends, we need our rest. And so your deacon did not actually ask me, but he phoned because obviously there was a gap. Now, friends, in the providence of God, we had to prove. A few nights later, I could not sleep. I could not sleep. And the Lord said, you must go to Swavesey. If that position is still vacant. And as I telephoned your deacon, so it was. So here we stand in the providence of God. Made willing, friends. Made willing. And I am one of the least willing people to do that, friends. I'm a rebel. We quoted in prayer, rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still. Well, we, friends, yet since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. In other words, his promise is eternal. And friends, as we come with this word, I will go also. The very preceding bit is not about the I, it's about the we, it's about the cities. One city says, let us go speedily to another, the inhabitants. These will be the days, the prophet Zechariah is saying, when there will be some prosperity, and one city will be enthusiastic in the right ways, in the things of the Lord, and they will drive another city. And that's how it will go. Let us go. Lovely to see the children in the chapel in the week. I wonder whether you've come up to the house of God tonight willingly, or whether you felt a little bit, well, it's holidays and it's time we go to chapel. Friends, a wonderful thing if some of you, even as a young age, are filled to know what it is to be willing to go to chapel in the week, rather than perhaps, shall I say, slightly dragged along. And friends, I know what it is as a young person to feel to be dragged along, but to be willing. Well, friends, it might be a simple example that we give, but you know the Lord will make his people willing. There's a beautiful word in the Psalms, and it says this: my people, thy people, are those that are given to the Father, given by the Father, a chosen eternity, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. They shall be willing. You know, I don't know if we've got a very unwilling person, but the Lord has given you an instruction and you will not walk in the instruction. You will not follow that which the Lord has said to you. May it be the time when these words come home to you, I will go also. And we hope to come to that also. But really, friends, made willing, made willing. Friends, I want you to consider the disciples for a minute. How long did they spend when the Lord Jesus called them thinking about whether they would go? Well, you read it and you know it, friends. I'm sure you know it. And you know, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, it says, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, I've got a work for you to do. Now, I just want to stop here, friends, because there may be those that say, well, this is nothing to do with me, this is message tonight. I've already gone, I've already followed the Lord, I'm already a member, or I'm already walking in his ways, it's nothing to do with me. My dear friends, there needs to be a drawing, a going, a time and time again. He will have us continually to walk in the ways of his commands in different aspects, different things. There may be a small thing, it may be nothing to do with anything major in the house of God, but a small pathway to help another. You've been made willing to go and help another. You've been made willing to go and do something in the Lord's name. We always look at the big things, friends. We think of the ministry and we think of joining the church. Friends, the little things that the Lord will have us to do, made willing. So you've perhaps been a little reticent, and here's the word, friend. Oh, may the Lord apply it with power. I will go. So we come back to this. Where they were, I will make you fish. Straightway, we read. Straightway, they left their nets and followed him. Friends, are you still tending to your nets? You've got to leave those nets. Oh, you say, but there's all these other things. Well, read on. Let us read on. He saw two other brethren, James and John. They're mending their nets. And he called them immediately. This, friend, they left their ship. And three such important words. And their father. Oh, you see, family can't get in the way. No, in the Lord's time, in the day of his power, we will be made willing. And we'll be made willing to continue in the pathway that the Lord has laid before us. And that is often a pathway of the very hymn that we've read. Friends, that hymn has been going through my mind today. I felt that a great favour. And must it, Lord, be so? Oh, how are we looking on our own pathway? Must it be so, Lord? Yes, because I will have you to walk in this way. Therefore, the Lord needs to make me willing to say, I will go, Lord. I will go in the pathway that thou hast laid for me. I will continue to walk in it, but without questioning thee. And must it, Lord, be so? Yes, friends, because he will have us. To realise that we do, but taste the cup, but because the cup of suffering, because he's drunk it right up. Beautiful word. I will go also. Friends, you know, if as one of you, you need to go in a matter, you need to go forward with the matter, you need to deal with it, but all these reasons come up and the old enemy says, no, you can't go. You can't do that which has been upon your mind. Oh, friends, what a foe he is. You know, it's so amazing. The first time we read these three words in Scripture is back in Genesis. You will know it well. And it was Rebekah, wilt thou go with this man? And she answered him, I will go. But you see, Abraham's servant, before they even go up, before he goes to seek the wife, and before he goes into the daughters of Canaan, this is what he says: peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me. And friends, that's where you and I are. If I venture in this path, this will go wrong, that will go wrong, or people will look on me and think you're not suitable or you're not right for this thing. You see, we come up with objections. So did Abraham's servant. But what did he prove when he got there? That his prayers were answered in a most particular way. And you know the case. Oh, when she should ask that she would water the camels also. Take drink for the camels also. Beautiful, beautiful. Opening up of the providential ways of God. And friends, the spiritual ways of God are close to it. As you know. And so it is. I will go. Made willing. Made willing. Friends, you need the day of his power to make you willing. Because we're such rebellious creatures. And friends, and I don't mind saying it. The truth is, whether we're in the pulpit or whether we're at the desk, we have rebellion, you know. You know, perhaps you young people think that there's that natural enthusiasm that we want to come and step up those, walk up those steps into the pulpit, or the friends, the deacons, that there is that natural inclination. Friends, there isn't. There's a dragging back of the feet. Yet, when the Lord is with them and with us each of us, it's like in the psalm, and I believe that psalm reflects the earlier verses here, Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of God. I was glad. Maybe there's been one that's felt that tonight. What a favour. Let us go. I will go also. You see, one city will speak to another. And then it comes down to the individual. I saw how beautiful it is in this verse. How beautiful it is, friends. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go continually or speedily. I like both words. I like the margin word continually, but I do love speedily, don't you, friends? To go speedily. Oh, for you and I to go speedily with the things that we have in our pathways and in our souls' experience, but continually to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. So it goes from the cities, which is the collective, almost the we or the they, to the I, the individual. And in the end, friends, that's where it rests, you and me, who must stand before God. Friends, I do believe that every single a rightly born child of God will know what it is to be made willing to go. To go in this, to know what it is to go in confession of their sins before a holy God, to know what it is to go in the right pathways, particularly, I feel, at crunch times in their lives. There are those things they know not what to do, they will take them before the Lord. But I also believe that when it comes, and friends, how solemn it is when we hear of those suddenly taken and others that come with that gradual, terrible, difficult decline to the day of death. But you see, that's a journey, and the Lord will make us willing to go on that journey through the waters of death. He will, you see. I believe I will go also. That willingness that's given from heaven above. Willing to serve him. Willing to follow him. Willing to be led by him. Willing to be guided by him. Willing to seek the Lord when at one stage our will was our own will. Oh, friends, therefore, I do believe it's a word. It's a word that is so necessary for every true-born child of God. I will go. I will go. That willingness. You know, it's so beautiful when we read it in Ruth, isn't it? It's such a lovely, lovely book, is Ruth. But you see, Ruth was made so willing to go with her mother-in-law. She said, whither thou goest, I will go. I will go, the same three words. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And this, most important of all, thy God shall be my God. And maybe there's a young person, you sit and you hear this. Your parents, God, you've seen the work of God in your parents and the way they live their life. May their God be my God. You may not say it to them. We can't always speak to our parents and families, but oh, young person, if that's the way it is, oh, continue to go and to seek that, the God of your parents. I will go also. But the time, you see, the time of following the Lord, when we must go, and I don't know, friends, I must name it as it's upon me, whether there's one, and this is where the also comes in. See, also is an adverb. It adds to the verb of to go. I also. Or as well as. You've seen those go before. You've been like the man at Bethesda's pool. You've seen them get the blessing. Or you've seen them come. And perhaps they've come and they've joined the church and they put the Lord on in that open way and you know you desire it in your heart. And perhaps those near and dear to you have done it. They've walked in that way. Friends, we must name it. That little also is so important if you've been exercised in that way. And I don't know where you are, friends. But also, I've seen them go. I will go also. I will go as well. I will follow where they have gone. Because I desire to follow my Lord and Saviour. One who is constraining me to go. Oh, friends. You know there is a time that we cannot hold back. I will go also. Mr. George Jemson, minister in our churches, he died in 1989. And the dear man, I think it was about 1931, he was so, well, he came to that point that he felt, I have to go. I must go. And it was this, when he went and saw somebody being baptized, and the word was this, go and do thou likewise, go. And do thou likewise. I will also go. It must be so, you see, friends. The power of God made willing. Oh, you say this is nothing to do with me, friends. It may not tonight, but it may do in a year's time. You know, we don't know how the Lord will work. We listen to a sermon and we think it's not relevant at the time, perhaps to us, and it can be, 4 years down the line. We've known it in our own pathway, friends. Oh, to ponder these words. Well, this dear man, there he was. He ventured to go and see Mr. Dawson, Herbert Dawson, who had got was looking after Tenterden Chapel at that time. He ventured once and the man was out preaching down in wheelchair. He ventured again and the snow was so deep upon the ground he couldn't get there. Friends, if ever the enemy was winning his way, and if as one of you, you know, you've got lame feet, you're lame on both your feet, you can't come, you can't, there's all these things in the way. Friends, the Lord will bring you despite the lameness of your feet, despite the fact you cannot walk one step towards that way. He will bring you. Yes, I will carry, he says. I will carry you. Friends, you will have to come in the day of his power. And so in that time, he came and eventually he did speak to Mr. Dawson. And then, you see, the first service he went to afterwards, not preached by that man, by a servant of God, who knew nothing of his case. He preached from this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. What a question for you and me. Have we received some blessing, some favour from Christ Jesus the Lord, spiritually in our soul? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Friends, what an instruction. Whether that means in that open way of profession, or whether that means you should be walking closer to your God. Like Cowper desired, that closer walk with God and that calm and heavenly frame, that light that shone upon the road that led him to the Lamb. What a desire, friends. And so that man came and was blessed. And you know, he was equally reticent about the ministry. You know, as we've been reading about him recently, friends, how it laid upon us, what reticence. And I do feel that so often with the Lord's people, there is a natural reticence. He chooses those almost as you were that are reticent in these things rather than natural self-confidence. And he brings them by his power and his constraining love. The love of the Lord, for the love of Christ constraineth us. We must come, we must follow, we must go, we must do that he constrains us to do. And friends, I don't know what it is, but you must do it and follow your Lord in that way. And so must I. Oh, you know, it's a beautiful hymn, one of our hymns, and it says this. It's a hymn about knowing our Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. But he says this in the last verse, thus make me willing, made willing, make me willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy name. Are you suffering, poor soul? Suffering because of sin. Suffering in your pathway. The sufferings, a little of the sufferings of Christ you're having to bear. Well, I say this, and I don't want to add to Scripture, but I will go on. I will go on also. I will carry on as helped by the Lord. You know, and how will you carry on? Because you will let us go speedily. Let us go continually to pray. Yes, friends. Oh, what a word it is. Well, that dear man was reticent about the ministry. And in the end, he said, Lord, seal the matter for me. And he opened the Bible on this. Woe if I preach not the gospel. Oh, that man naturally very reticent. So he had to go. He went to his father-in-law and said, you know my exercise. He knew a little of his exercises. He said, I cannot hold back any longer. Friends, how those words hit me. I cannot hold back any longer. And you know, when the Lord speaks, and some of you will, I believe, will be assenting to this statement in your own soul's experience, and may it be an encouragement to you. Those that have had to walk in a particular way, and you've known the Lord's approbation and guidance in it, and you've looked back and you can see that I could not go any longer. I had to do that which I had to do. Yes. That's the way the Lord works. His constraining power and love. He will have us, friends, to do that. He will have us subject to his holy will. And I know we fight against it. And I know the enemy encourages us to fight against it. And I know sometimes even fellow, and I speak rightly, even fellow believers, sometimes they don't say the things that are necessarily always helpful to us. Friends, to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, not on man, and there our hopes to stay. He will make his goodness to pass before us in the way. Now, friends, we're made willing. The children of Israel were made willing in a most interesting way when we read into the word. They were made willing to give gifts unto the house of God. They were made willing to be generous to the house of God. Friends, I'm not preaching at anybody. It's the word of God. And this is how we read of it. The congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, but they came. This is just before, towards the end of Exodus, and they came, every one of them. We read this, everyone whose heart stirred him up. Everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone in whom his spirit was made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, friends, you might say, well, what can I do for the tabernacle of the congregation here at Swavesey? You've been on your knees today, have you, for the tonight's service? What about next Lord's Day? What about praying for the deacons? What about those who are afflicted? And so on and so forth. And you say, well, I do all these things. But you see, friends, it's a doing of them continually. It's a doing of them speedily, as a former part of this word confirms to us, the inhabitants of those that are seeking the Lord. I know it seems a bit strange at this stage in the sermon, friends, to suddenly think about the context. But you see, Zechariah, the book of Zechariah was very much around the time after the period of Babylonish captivity. So for 70 years, the Jewish people were out of Israel, and Judah were out of Jerusalem. They were banished from there, and they started to come back. And under the reign of Cyrus, the Persian king, and it was around 530, that sort of time, that they started to come back. And it's believed that Zechariah wrote much of his prophecy around the time of 520, that sort of time, and he was around still when Xerxes, the king, was on the throne around the time that Esther became his wife. So that sets the time that it was. And it was a time when there was much looking towards the Messiah and the coming again of the Lord. And the first 8 chapters really in this book relate very much to the time prior to the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. And then following that, it is looking very much after the rebuilding of the temple to the coming again of the Lord, and both the Messiah to come and to save those that were his, and then the coming again of the Lord, and he prophesies of judgment and he prophesies of mercy to the Lord's people. And you see, we therefore come in chapter 8 to that time where the temple was just about to be rebuilt. What a time of looking forward. So that's why they said, let us go speedily. That's why it was said here, let us seek the Lord of hosts, and I will go also. That's why there was that enthusiasm. But we read back, you see, in Moses' time, that there were those that had to give. They had to give towards the house of God. And you know, that giving may be in something you've got to do for the house of God. And maybe that's as simple as praying more often. And maybe it's even a young person to have to pray for the minister. You've not prayed for them in the past. Prayed for your deacon for help putting the hymns upon the board. You know, when we're young, we just think the hymns get on the board or are just given out, and that's what it is. But friends, the exercise and the burden of these things, I will go also. I will go. And what a willingness there was then in those disciples to follow Jesus. And what a willingness there will be in every single one who are Christian followers and hence disciples of the Lord. Are you willing, friends? Are you willing? You know, he's willing to save his people, but are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to do that which is a burden and concern to you this very evening? Oh, to be made willing. And how can I do it, you say? How can I? I have no power. I have no strength. I have no might. I'm such a poor, weak thing. I hear, I know the exercise of my heart. I know I must do that which the Lord tells me to do, but I cannot do it. No, friends, nor could the psalmist. But what did he pen? This, I will go. I will go. You see those three words, friends? I will go, but in the strength of the Lord God. How are you going to do it? I will make mention of thy righteousness, of thine only. In other words, in that which you do, it's nothing to do with self. All of him, all about Jesus, nothing about you, friends. Oh, I will go. You know, my dear dad, he had a letter. He passed to a Stapler's and he had a letter to go for 3 months to support the dear friends in Australia back in 1994. He had the letter in 93, but to go in 94. And there he was established and initially there seemed to be a feeling, well, can I go? Should I go? To preach to the friends, to help them in their lack of the ministry. Well, friends, you see, in God's providence, the Lord gave him this word, and it's so wonderful where it comes, and it says, then I will go. Then. Now, what did this then that his church, and they were in time, not at the outset, but the Lord worked and one by one became willing to let him go for that period. And you see, friends, then, with no that willingness, then I will go. I will go. It was the Lord's will, you see. And he felt it clearly in the way the church had, when he laid it before them, their tenderness over the matter. And indeed, one who had opposed it, who rung him up and said this, come over to Macedonia and help us. So he had to go, friends. And so it is. That's a beautiful word, you know. It's where Deborah the prophetess, we read of it in the Judges, and perhaps you might want to read Judges 4 later on for your own benefit, but it's a beautiful word where Barak, that's not the king Barak, but this is the son of Abinoam, and he would not go to speak to the captain of the opposing army. He wouldn't go on his own. He needed Deborah to go with him. So she said, then I will go. If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. Friends, maybe that's what you're saying. If another goes, then I will go. Friends, if the Lord Jesus goes with you, may you be able to say, then I will go. Then I will go. And oh, as I say, if you've seen others, then you will have to go. Friends, again, it comes into my mind. I can only speak as the Lord opens these things up. But there were 4 leprous men at the gate. You know it, the gate of Samaria, a city, it's starving. Leprous men must be outside the city. Can't be inside because of the leprosy. Oh, how they dealt with it in that way. And they're at the entering of the gate. They're going to die. They're going to die if they stay there. They're going to die if they go into the camp of the Syrians. They're going to die. But they might as well venture. And of course they came to the camp. And you know the story, friends. You know it well. And they came to the camp and they'd fled. But then, you see, there's the city that's starving. And they need to give the message to the city. And they're constrained to do that. We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Maybe that's where you are, poor sinner. A day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, that we may go. I will go also. Now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household so that they could instruct the people, so that they could deal with the famine. Yes, friends. So they told it within the king's house. So, poor sinner, tonight, as you've come to the house of God, and I feel the Lord has constrained me to come when, well, I was going to put it like this, friends, but let's be natural in it. I would have been putting my feet up. No. Then I will go. Yes. Well, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily. You know, what a willingness there is to serve the Lord. What a willingness there is to follow him. How the Lord will have his people to, that they're overflowing with willingness. It's so indescribable. In the day when the Lord comes, they have to do it. They absolutely have to do it. And friends, you know, that is the case. When our late dear pastor, Mr. Peter Cottenham, you know, there was that exercise about him coming amongst us as pastor. The Lord spoke this word to him. And friends, there was a natural reticence in him in taking such a responsibility on. Go near and draw. Draw close to this chariot. Go near. Yes. Which is, I think, the word unto Philip to go to the eunuch that was in the chariot. Yes, friends, to go near to the chariot. And friends, the chariot, oh, the chariot that's going through life, the chariot that's taken us that one day we must stand before him. You know, friends, I really hope that we all have that willingness, not in an open profession, but to follow the Lord, you know, to follow him. Whatsoever that means, I will go also. Oh, we've seen others. We've seen the forefathers. We've seen the effects of the word of God upon them. We've seen what it has done. Oh, to have that willing heart to sacrifice something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what did he give up? And how willing, friends, when we talk of willingness, how willing was Jesus to die, to fulfill the will of his heavenly Father? Friends, he came to sweat great drops of blood, and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And friends, that's the summary. The Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect exemplar for us each to look at tonight, to see what he did and how he was made willing to sacrifice himself upon the cross, that most terrible of deaths, to take upon us the sins that we each would have, the punishment for each of our sins that was due throughout an entire eternity. Can we even consider the depth of sin, the fullness of that suffering? We cannot. But he was made willing. What an example to us, friends. We come to the crescendo, one might say, of all our preaching in the Lord Jesus Christ. What great things he has done. So what are you going to do, friends? I will go also. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the morning service. He will also, God willing, address the prayer meeting on Monday evening. And Mr. Pocock is expected on Tuesday evening next week. Our closing hymn is 787. Come, poor sinners, come away in meditation sweet. Let us go to Golgotha and kiss our Saviour's feet. Let us in his wounded side Wash till we every whit are clean. That's the fountain opened wide for filthiness and sin. Hymn 787.
Anything that thou hast seen amiss, do bless thine own word. May it be for someone, Lord. We pray that thou wilt graciously work, and we shall see the wonders God alone can do. Do take us each home in peace and safety. Help us each through the remainder of the week. Be with thy dear servant on the coming Lord's Day and around the Lord's table and at the prayer meeting. May the friends be blessed. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.